to turn again now to Titus and the second chapter, taking our text this evening in verse 13. Titus 2 and verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Particularly looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ. That blessed hope. Now, the word hope usually has the idea in our everyday use and everyday language of a maybe. That is how we usually use it. I hope something will happen. I hope to go there tomorrow. There is a maybe and something unsure about the word itself in general use. And in scripture, it is usually to do with a certainty. It is to do with something that we can be sure of and need not doubt about. Sometimes also the word hope refers more directly to the Lord Jesus Christ himself. We read, for example, in Colossians, where it speaks about Christ in you, the hope of glory. That is referring to Christ, obviously, himself. Or in 1 Timothy, we read there where it says that the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Or in Hebrews chapter 6, the hope that is set before us, that is Christ being the object of that hope. And so we see how the word is so different used from our everyday use of it in everyday language, and the way that scripture particularly uses it in different ways, but generally it is more often seen in the ways that I have mentioned there. And so, friends, when we say that we have hope, we are speaking about Christ and our hope in Christ, and Christ himself being our hope. He is our hope. It is a hope also, if we have faith and trust in him, that is sure. It is not something with a maybe if we are true believers. Now, of course, anyone who is not, well, they have no right to have a hope. Because a hope for eternity, a hope to be in glory one day, is all based on faith in Christ. So therefore, hope in Christ as well. And if there is any other hope, it's a false hope. It's a vain hope. Hope in our own good works. How often that, maybe with some of us, was so much in our lives that somehow or other, one day that we would be in heaven, of course, certainly not in hell, because we had a hope that things would work out in the end. After all, for some of us, we weren't, in our own eyes at least, as bad as some others, or as sinful as some others. Maybe you can identify with that yourself, some of you. But this hope then, it is a sure hope, because it's the hope of the person who has come to realize that they have nothing else of themselves. They have nothing at all of themselves. And they say with another, to whom else can we go? Maybe you tried, as some of us did, tried so many things that we had hope would satisfy us. When we look back on it now, some of us realize we can hardly believe how foolish we were in the sense of looking for satisfaction in the things of this world, trying them, attaining them, satisfied for a while. But then you found that you had to move on to something else. And sadly, there are many like that still in the world. They may be in your own and my family circles and circle of friends and neighbours. And here, friends, is what you and I should not have found ultimately. This is the only place where there's satisfaction. In Christ. Hope in Christ, and Christ our hope. And in that way, that the believer is someone who has learned that no one else can be trusted for his great need. And the great need being the need of our souls. And nothing else in this world, however much we can get, and even good and lawful things that we can enjoy in this world, they are nothing and of no consequence when it comes to our souls. And there is only one who can satisfy the need of your soul and my soul, and is the one who is our hope. And so he is able to deliver us and to save us. And if that is so, friends, how then much it should be true of us that we dedicate our lives wholly to him, that we do not allow the world and all that is still there, which we all struggle with and give in far too easily to, how we should seek by God's grace to cast these things aside and live focused upon the one who is, we say, our hope. But after all, isn't that what we're saying when we come and say that we've become Christians, that we believe in Christ? We are saying that he is most precious to us, more than anything and anyone else in this world. Well, if that is so, how we should live more showing that in our lives, believing that he came into this world for a purpose. And you say, well, I always believed that he came into this world to save sinners. I always believed that. And that is a truth that no one can deny, knowing anything of Scripture at all. But you see, friends, that knowing that in and of itself is not enough. You see, there has to be a personal aspect to it. This knowledge, this new understanding, this hope that you have, it's not about, I hope that he'll save this one and that one, but myself. So it focuses on yourself. It is an individual thing. Believing that Christ, who he was, and many of us in one way or another probably believe that all our lives, maybe not have any great doubts about it. But it had to come to the personal aspect of it to be meaningful for us. Our hope of glory, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Well, friends, we do have hope if we are Christians tonight. There is a hope that is here for us. There was always a hope in the world, from the Genesis even. There was a hope of a Messiah coming, a hope of his appearing. And if we look at that first of all tonight, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and Saviour Jesus Christ. Now that is referring to what has come. We'll look at that in a moment. But if we go back, we can see that from the beginning, as I said, from that promise that is given in Genesis chapter 3 there, of a Messiah, of one coming who would bruise the head of the serpent. There is a hope in that appearing. And he is today, for the Christian, of course, the object and ground of our hope, as we said. Now, before he came into this world, before the incarnation, there was the hope there, as we said, held by God's people down through the ages, that one day he would appear in this world. Their understanding of it, as we have it in the Old Testament scriptures, I'm quite sure it varies, and some obviously with more understanding than others. But that was lying behind the truth that any who followed God believe in the promises that this would be true one day. And so, before they appeared into this world, there was that hope that was found as a thread through the Old Testament scriptures. Now, that was true of those, as I said, were the followers of God. And the true followers of God in the Old Testament, they had this idea of the Messiah, the Christ coming. And as I said, I'm sure that some had more awareness of it, or were more looking forward to it in faith than maybe others were. They were looking for the day that the seed would bruise the serpent's head, that there would be an appearance then into the world. Now, sometimes we think of the Old Testament saints as being blinded too much, and no doubt they didn't have the clarity that you and I even have looking back now. They were looking forward to something that was still to come. We have the benefit today of looking at something that has happened, and so we can see that clearly, his birth, as well as we will see his death and the reason for his coming. But the promise of God is there, time and time again. As we said, there we have it at the very beginning, bruising the serpent's head. How much they understood it. Well, there was an understanding, surely. Is that not what, remember when Eve, when she said that she had found, that she had received a man from the Lord, the idea of, is this the one now who is going to deal with the matter of sin? And down through the ages, there were those we come to the psalmist, how David often, we read there, for example, in Psalm 132, of the fruit of thy body will I set upon thy throne. Now, did David there understand that just for Solomon his son? Or did he understand for more than Solomon? Well, I think light is given to us, particularly in Acts chapter 2, when we read there about Peter makes clear that he did regarding David. He speaks of when God would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. And so, looking back on it, Peter certainly understood it, and surely he's saying it in the measure as well that David in some way or other believed it also, not just for his son Solomon, but also for a greater that was still to come. We go to Isaiah, just another example. You know yourselves very well the version Isaiah 7. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel, God with us. God being born into this world. Now again, it can be debated, as it often is, maybe amongst yourselves, and how much did Isaiah understand there? How much did David understand? How much did Adam and Eve going all the way understand? How much did Abraham, as we see, understand either? And so, in the fullness of time, there was an appearance. He appeared, and the hope that they had was then fulfilled. Although the vast, vast majority of them, of course, down through the thousands of years, had passed away. But nevertheless, there was an appearing. And what a glorious appearing, friends, into this world at the time of his birth. What a glorious appearing was there. The one who came, and the glorious appearing, yes, at the latter end, but at the beginning as well. That a glorious appearing, when we read how there was the glorious singing heard, the night sky was bright, the multitudes of angels singing the praises of the one who now the time had come, the appearing had come for him to come into this world. Oh yes, friends, the Old Testament saints had hope, a sure hope, and our belief in the promises. And it was fulfilled then, in very real sense at that time, was still at the beginning of the New Testament as we have it. It was the end of the era, as it were, of the old, and it was now being fulfilled in their ears and in their eyes and in their experience for those who were there. We read here that there were those looking for that blessed hope. It's the same idea as we have with Simeon. Remember how we read about Simeon? What was he doing there? We didn't look to waiting for the consolation of Israel. The idea is looking and waiting. There was that idea that was there. They were looking for it. They were waiting for it. They were waiting for this appearance. And they were waiting with expectation. Expectation of what? Of the promise being fulfilled. The promises that they knew were yea and amen. Promises to be fulfilled. Now, some speak of the initial appearing as the hope of the Old Testament being fulfilled, which to some degree, of course, that is true, is it not? But I believe that there must have been, for some at least, an expectation of a second coming and a second appearing. Now, how did they see that? They were waiting for him to come. And of course, as we know from the disciples, often they thought this was it now, that he was going to establish a kingdom on the earth. But when you think about, for example, Abraham, when Abraham was there offering Isaac, and we are told, particularly in Hebrews 11, where it speaks there about Abraham, that he believed in what? That God was able to raise Isaac from the dead. He believed in a resurrection. And I'm sure that we can see the connection there, that there must have been with Abraham. Again, doesn't he say himself elsewhere that Abraham saw my day? Now, we cannot speculate too much on what that involved. But surely there was more to it than just the fact that he would one day appear. Surely there must have been more to it in understanding. Now, I don't want to be sort of speculating anything here, and I don't want to do that, but I do believe that there must have been with some an understanding that went beyond the first appearing of Christ into this world, that the ultimate end of it all must have been seen in some way or other at the same time. Not seen by all, but surely like the Abrahams and others of this life, looking for it. We know, of course, he was the hope of Israel, according to the apostle elsewhere. He was the hope of Israel. The Jews to this day, as well as you know, of course. Sadly, what are they doing? They are still looking for the first appearing, for the Messiah to come. But the true believer is looking now for the second coming, for the end appearing. And I'm quite sure also that with Simeon then and others, that he now let thy servant depart in peace, for he saw. But would he not have seen more than just the birth? Was there not something else for that spiritual man to see beyond these things? Now, we today, we know he has come. And isn't that where your own hope, it doesn't end there, but it begins there. The fact that he came into this world, speaking with reverence, is not going to save us. It is what goes on after it. That he was born into this world was necessary, but that he had died in our nature also was necessary. And to know that he came, that is where our hope begins. But it's not where it ends. Our hope reaches out beyond that, does it not? His first appearance in taking our nature can be seen and understood as an appearance, a manifestation, as some speak about, an an epiphany of grace. The word epiphany, as you know, Greek word appearing, of grace at that time. Grace is seen in him coming into this world. And so it's incarnation, his crucifixion, his resurrection. But then there is now the hope of a second appearing. And that is where your hope lies tonight and mine lies as well. And what comfort, friend, it gives us that we believe with a hope. What kind of hope do you have tonight? A sure hope. A definite hope. A hope that is based on faith and the promises that he has given. That he is coming again. What is it that keeps us going in this life? And there we will see a second appearance. First, if you like, an appearance in grace. The second, an appearance in glory. A glory that will be with him when he comes again. And how is he going to come? Well, friends, as he has promised, with the holy angels, we read that he will descend from heaven with a shout. Just as at the birth, the angels were there singing. But when he comes again, oh, it'll be that shout, proclamation that we have there. He ascended as he went up on the cloud, you remember, there we read in the book of Acts there, he ascended up out of the sight of the disciples. But what are we told by the angel at that time as well? He shall come in like manner, and he shall come in all the glory as ye have seen him go. And just as he ascended, as it were, in the clouds, and angels accompanying him will be there when he appears again for us. That second appearing, that is our great hope, is it not, tonight, friends? That he will come again, and that he will appear again, and that we shall see him. And that hope for the Christian has nothing to do with wishful thinking. It is based on faith, faith that you have come to exercise in him. It is a sure hope. It is a trust and a confidence. In what? Well, in God, of course, but in the promises of God particularly. In the word of God that promises us, that assures us that it will be so. Where do you go for your hope tonight? Well, it's not just a vain thing or an empty thing and a hopeful thing. It is based on the promises of God. He is coming again, friends. How much do you long for that day? How much do you think about that day? How much do you look forward? Do I look forward to that day? What a wonderful day that's going to be. For those who die before he comes, of course, there is, in a way that we cannot understand, when the souls are made perfect in that moment and eventually pass into glory. But there is still, in a sense, there will be a longing, in a sense, and I again try to be careful my words here, of the soul in glory tonight, awaiting for the redemption, for the body and soul to be together again. And what a day that will be. You think of Isaac and Rebecca. She was betrothed to him before she ever saw him face to face. What she was told about him was enough, as it were, to have her say, I will go with this man. And so it is, in a sense, with yourself tonight, Christian, that you are betrothed to him. I will go with this man. And with Rebecca and Isaac, before they ever, or at least from Rebecca's point of view, before she ever saw him face to face. But oh, what joy when she did, when they met up at last. And dear friend, that's how it'll be for you also, Christian, with a hope in Christ at his second appearance. What joy. What joy there. And you know what? The amazing thing as well is this. That he also will joy in you. Because there is, in a very real way now, with Christ as he is, he is awaiting also until all his people are with him where he is. And that's when he will ultimately see of the trouble of his soul and be satisfied. Isn't it a thought, friend, that you will be part of the satisfaction of Christ? Imagine that. Imagine that. And so when he comes again, and you see him face to face, your hope then will be fulfilled. And hope in a sense then, even in the best of sense, will not be necessary then, in one way at least. Yes, friends, on that day, every eye shall see him when he comes. And when they hear the trumpet sound, every eye shall see him. But oh, sadly, everyone will not welcome him. And that's the question for us tonight. Can I look forward to it? Will I welcome him when he comes? It is only the Christian who can do so truly. But as he comes in all his glorious appearing, you will know a joy and a heart burning at that time. Oh, there was a time when you saw no beauty in him or desired him. But that won't be like that any longer. It certainly won't be that on that day, but how can that be? Well, only because already you do see a beauty in him and desire him. And if your desire is for him tonight, if your longing is for him, well, take that as a mark that the Lord is at least working in your life, or if not, brought you to faith in Christ. The hope in your heart tonight then is only because he has given you hope, and you see him for who he is, and you are looking forward to that appearing that will be his glorious appearing that is promised in his word. I will come again, he says. Remember, and what does he say? Why is he coming? For this purpose, and receive you unto myself. That's wonderful. But then he goes on and says, that where I am, there you may be also. That's the hope of the Christian. That's the glorious appearing that the Lord's people look to. That's what I pray you and I, all of us here tonight, would be looking to as well. And oh, what a day that will be. And what an appearing that will be as we see our blessed Lord no longer stripped of his clothing, although in a sense, yes, he will be stripped of earthly garments. He will come then clothed in all the majesty and glory that is his by right, and how we will adore him and worship him as he comes in that way. The heavens opened, the multitudes of holy angels accompanying him down for that great day of judgment. And what happens then? There will be, accompanied by the saints from glory, and then the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the air to be forever with the Lord. That, friend, surely is what will be included in this glorious final appearing in this world. There to be with him. Oh, friends, let us live looking more and more to that day of his glorious appearing. If we would do so, it would put everything else into its perspective. Even these viruses and everything else, the difficulty we live in, the deadness of our day, there seems to be so little movement of the Spirit, and we shouldn't be content with that. But we should see everything. If we look more to that day and to Christ's coming, it will help us to understand and to deal with every other matter that goes on. And so there is this hope in Christ at his first and certainly at his second coming. And that then we can consider the hope then that is actually ours that flows from his appearing. Now all of us tonight, if we are the Lord's, can say with the apostle, to be with Christ is far better. You believe that as a Christian. And that's the whole purpose, friends, of his second coming. To take us to be with himself. Yes, to judge the world, but more than that, surely, is to have his own forevermore with himself. And what does that mean for you? And I think surely this is what most of us long for above everything else. I don't mean that before seeing Christ, but to be rid of sin. Not to be troubled anymore by sin. Even that itself is just a wonderful thought. But that cannot be except with Christ. And if we are with Christ, it means that sin is left behind. The troubles that afflict the just in number many be. But yet out of them all, the Lord has set us free. And he will do, ultimately, on the last day for us all. Dear friend, is that not a longing in your own heart? Oh, to be rid of sin. And that means to see Christ. And to see Christ means to be rid of sin. Yes, now, but we see it but through a glass darkly. But then, face to face. Face to face. You know, I don't believe that such a thing as a Christian who hasn't thought of that moment at one time or another, I hope on many occasions, to see him face to face. What is it that we see? I read of someone who was blind from birth, Christian man, and he said that he longed for this day coming. As he said, I have never seen anything in this world but the thought that the first thing I will ever see will be the face of Christ. We also, friends, will see him face to face. In a moment, that will happen. And you see, we should, all of us, have thoughts and more thoughts on that, on this glorious hope that we have, this glorious appearing that we look to. To see even the thought of it, and this will be surely flows from his appearing, as we mentioned already, the dead raised, the sleeping ones awoken out of their sleep, those who sleep in Jesus. Our own situations, which likely that we'll all have passed away from this world before it comes, now awaiting the resurrection of our bodies. And then the soul and the body reunited, and to be forever with the Lord. That ultimately is the end of it all. That ultimately is what's ushered in, what flows from his final appearing. You know, friends, I think myself that sometimes, and I'm speaking about myself, that my slowness and reluctance at times to spend time meditating on the resurrection morning and the hope of glory that follows has much to do with sometimes my own spiritual deadness. If I could just lift my thoughts and my mind to that day more, would it not awaken a love in my heart anew for Christ and think about it more than I do? Of course, life is difficult in this world and there are many distractions. But friends, in comparison to what awaits us, how true what Scripture tells us elsewhere, our light affliction is but for a moment. What is it compared to be with Christ in glory? And what is it compared to what he suffered to have us to be him in glory? Let us look forward to that day. Think also sometimes of, remember how Andrew and found his brother Simon Peter and Philip Nathaniel. Think of the excitement of these men, of Andrew and Philip particularly. We have found the Messiah. Oh, what excitement. What a thrill in their soul. Those who had been waiting and now saw it being fulfilled. What excitement, what a thrill for them. How their hearts must have burned within them when they got this new knowledge and new sight of Christ the Messiah. But then, was that not true of yourself when you first came and saw Jesus by faith and you understood who he was and your heart burned within you? Surely that's true of all who have come to know the Lord. But now, friend, wonderful as that was, there's a better day coming when you shall see him face to face. Oh, you won't be any safer on that day than you are today if we're in Christ. But it is, in a very real sense, is it not, a great and more glorious day to stand in his holy presence without any shame at your sinfulness, knowing that he has forgiven you, without any doubts, without any fears, without a single distraction from worshipping and glorifying his holy name. And so when he comes again, think of your experience of physically seeing him with a new eye and a new spiritual understanding, albeit he will be there physically before us as we will be physical as well. But there'll be a depth of spiritual understanding that will be with us today that we have never entered into and never will in this world. Friends, we don't know when he will come again, but we know that he is coming, that he is appearing again. That is surely your hope and mine. And if that is so, should we not always then be, as it were, on the watchtower? Should we not always be on the lookout for him? Should we not always be prepared for him? Friends, let us live more in expectation than we do, with a sure hope. We don't know when he's coming. I remember, and I know some of you here knew him well, minister in Leith at one time, Reverend Bill McKnight. And I remember as a student in Edinburgh and going into his manse, and he had a plaque on the wall. And I wondered at the beginning, maybe today. Maybe today. Now, whether you're a pre-mill, post-mill, or an e-mill, or whatever, that should still be something that we should be thinking about. Maybe today. And that's how we should live. That's how we should be less and less tied to this world. Maybe today, maybe not the end of the world, but maybe when we're called out of this sin of time. As some of us have known even recent days, for people suddenly removed from this sin of time. Friends, we need then to exercise more hope and more faith. The two are linked. As John Bunyan put it, hope is never ill when faith is well. I like that. Hope is never ill when faith is well. How is your faith tonight? Well, if your faith is good, your hope will be strong as well. That will be true of us all. When will it be? We don't know. We don't know. But as we look forward to it, the Saviour is looking forward to that day as well. When will that be? Christ is waiting. Waiting till when? Well, all we know is this, till all his enemies are made his footstool. And on that day, that will be it. And the day can come very quickly and very suddenly. No doubt about that. But for us to be ready for it when it comes, to have that hope, to have that hope. Someone has said, God makes a promise, faith believes it, hope anticipates it, patience awaits it. God makes a promise, faith believes it, hope anticipates it, patience waits it. That's how we are to live, friends. Let us then end this year, and if the Lord spares you to see a new one, let us do so in faith, exercising faith with a good hope, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Saviour Jesus Christ, to have that sure hope. Something, as I conclude, comes to my mind. An old elder when I was in Skye, and he was passing away. But every time I saw him, like many of the old folk at the time, and maybe still some today, and they spoke about a hope, Dochas. Had Dochas Akim. I've got a hope. And I could never ever get him, I used to tease him about it a bit, could never get him beyond saying that, oh, well, I've got a hope. And I used to say, well, surely you have a good hope. Oh, well, all I can say is, look at Dochas Akim. I've got a bit of a hope. But the day that he passed away, actually, I was over here in Lewis and I got word and I went on the ferry. Went straight to the hospital about after 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and he was still conscious. And as I still spoke with him, prayed with him, and as I was leaving, and I said to him, well, Donald, what kind of hope have you got now? And for the first time in his life, he said, oh, I've got a good hope. A Dochas mark. I wasn't home 40 minutes, and I got a phone call from the hospital that he had passed away. But he had got his good hope. And friends, that's what we have. And we should have and exercise that good hope. Hope in Christ. Not in ourselves. Not even in our faith. But in Christ. Who gave himself for us. That he might redeem us from all iniquity. And purify unto himself a peculiar people. Zealous of good works. Amen. Let us pray. We bow before thee, most holy God, and pray that thou would prepare us, that thou would strengthen our faith, that we would reach out in faith and in hope, being assured of thy holy word, not doubting but believing, and in that way that we would see anew Christ, the hope of glory. Oh, we thank thee for him, and thank thee for thy people here tonight. Lord, encourage those who may be struggling to understand, or even afraid that their hope is not enough. If there is hope at all, if there is faith at all, it can only be by the work of thy Spirit and thy grace. So remember us, whatever Lord, that was set out for us, we know not what awaits us in this world, but we know the one who knows. And so we commit ourselves to thee, asking in Jesus' name. Amen. I will conclude in Psalm 110. And we can read the whole psalm. The Lord did say unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes a stool whereon thy feet may stand. Down to the brook that runneth in the way, with drink shall him supply, and for this cause in triumph he shall lift his head on high. Psalm 110.
The Lord did say unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand, until I make thy foes a stool whereon thy feet may stand. The Lord shall out of Zion send the rod of thy great power. In the midst of all thine enemies be thou the governor. A holy people in thy day of power shall come to thee, in holy beauty from morn's womb thy youth like dew shall be. The Lord himself hath made an oath, and will repent him never. Of the order of Melchizedek, thou art a priest forever. The glorious and mighty Lord that sits at thy right hand shall, in this day of wrath, strike through kings that do him withstand. He shall among the heathen judge, he shall, with bodies dead, the places fill. O'er many lands he wound shall every head. The brook that runneth in the way with drink shall him supply, and for this cause in triumph he shall lift his head on high.
Let's conclude. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest on and abide with you all, now and forevermore. Amen.